Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Yourself?
Oh, pretty good. It's been a little while since we spoke. I think it was in July, and we've seen the market volatility pick up. In fact, the S&P 500 hasn't made a new high since we last spoke, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Now, this was almost comically predictable that the stock market, after so many record highs over the summer, eventually would correct, and when better than right after Labor Day.
Yeah, that's right. But I think this move right now should be put in context with what's been going on. So if we just look at the big picture, the stock market had a bear market in 2022, and then it bottomed out that fall and started a new bull market in early 2023. And we've had a tremendous rally since then, led by big cap technology stocks, such as NVIDIA in particular. And in fact, you could say a total mania erupted in NVIDIA. And the story about the rally was that AI was going to transform the economy and supercharge profits, and NVIDIA was the company that was the leader of that trend. Well, all bull markets eventually come to an end, and I believe what's now starting to take place, or is the ninth inning of this bull market. So if you go back, one simple way to look at the markets is, you have cycles, bull markets, bear markets, but you also have transition periods in between. And I think we're in what's called a stage three top, which comes sort of the end of a bull market, but the bear market hasn't started. And when that happens, typically, there's two things that take place. Three, actually. First, the averages will pull back down to the 150-day and 200-day moving averages, which tend to act as support during the bull markets. But they'll start to trade on them more frequently, and those moving averages will flatten out. And when the market dipped in August, that's what happened. The NASDAQ actually briefly went below the 200-day moving average. The second thing that happens is indicators such as the VIX, which measure stock market volatility, they go up. The volatility in the market increases. You get more swings up and down. There's more activity in people buying put options. And when the market fell in early August, we saw the biggest upward move in the VIX ever. It went up to 65, and then it made the biggest downward move from such a high level ever, too. And that, by falling all the way from 65 down to about 15, and now it's gone above 20 briefly this week. So these are pretty wild gyrations in the VIX. Up until this August, the VIX didn't go above 30 for 2 years. So that's a bit of a change. And again, I think that's evidence that we're in the ninth inning of the bull market, the so-called stage three top. Now, the market could make a new high, and the top could, you know, this phase could go on for months. Doesn't mean a bear market's coming next week, but in my view, it means there is actually limited upside here if we do make a new high. And I think you have to be thinking forward about that next bear market when it comes. Now, the other thing that tends to happen is the internals in the market weaken, meaning that fewer stocks are going up than down, and that hasn't completely started to happen yet. So that element of the one out of the three things hasn't really started. However, there's one other significant factor, and that's the economy. So these three things I've already talked about all have to do with the stock market, but the economy and the bond market are also very important. And the number one indicator out of all indicators that exist that accurately predicts the start of a recession, which bear markets tend to be a part of, is the yield curve. And the yield curve is the 2-year bond. It's the difference between the 2-year bond and the 10-year bond. Normally, 10-year treasury bonds yield more than shorter-term bonds, 2-year bonds. But that's not been the case for about 2 years now. The yield curve has been so-called inverted. And when this inversion started 2 years ago, there are headlines all over the place saying this is the most accurate forecast of recession, or predictor of recession. However, while true, it doesn't tell you when the recession is going to start. What does is when that inversion ends and you go from a negative yield curve to positive. And we are on the verge of a positive yield curve. For a few hours yesterday, it happened. As we're speaking right now, it's still like on the very edge of being positive. It's negative at the moment. But at any week, day, hour, it's likely to go negative. One bad unemployment report or employment report in the United States, or, you know, a bad manufacturing report, it's going to happen. And we're now on the verge of an interest rate reduction cycle. The Fed is poised to lower rates this month. And there are people out there saying, this is good. More easy money is going to come into the market. That's true if the Fed lowers rates and there is no recession, or they just lower rates 2 or 3 times, and everything's okay. But if the recession is going to come, then watch out. I think we'll see the stock market have a bear market, much like we saw 2 years ago, you know, a 20% decline or so for the S&P 500. Riskier assets like Bitcoin would completely crash. That's what Bitcoin did in the last stock bear market. The AI stocks will probably fall very hard, too, because while NVIDIA does make a lot of money, the stock is tremendously overvalued, and almost all other AI companies don't make a profit at all. So that whole sector's on the edge, I think, of being wiped out, actually maybe even regardless. What we're seeing right now in the stock market is the buying in the market is going into leadership sectors such as utilities and REITs and drug manufacturers, so-called safe sectors, defensive sectors that historically go up too when you're at the end of a bull market and starting a new bear market, because these are sectors such as utilities, tobacco stocks, another one, that they have stable revenue streams. Look, if there's a recession, people aren't going to stop using electricity. Smokers aren't going to stop smoking tobacco because they're addicted. And these type of stocks also typically pay nice dividend yields. And when interest rates go down, people go into that. So, for example, an energy company, Duke Energy, made a new 52-week high yesterday. And it did that while NVIDIA, you know, went down to hit about 105 after having been at 140. And Bitcoin fell too, below 60,000. Even today, Bitcoin down 3%. So I would say, you know, people want to make money. Simple way to make money, get out of Bitcoin and buy things that are safe, stable, pay dividends, such as Duke Energy, Philip Morris, and so forth. Get out of these crazy things. Now, you know, another safety trade, which I have my money in, is simply gold and silver, because when the Fed lowers rates, that does mean more money printing, and people look for a stable place to protect themselves from inflation. And the dollar has been fading too, the U.S. dollar index, over the past couple of weeks. So that's the role that gold plays in a portfolio. So there's lots of things people can do to make money, but everyone has to take a very careful stock of their holdings and what's been going on in the markets over the past 6 months. And some things are no longer working that were red hot trades a year ago. And those are things to get out of, frankly, and look to get into what is now working. And I think, frankly, having some cash in an account, knowing that we're headed for a bear market winter, ahead of us, just as we are a seasonal winter time. You know, when winter time comes, I don't wear my shorts anymore. I wear a jacket. And you got to think that way too when it comes to your investing.
We'll have more with Mike Swenson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swenson. Mike, what's going on in the crude oil market?
Well, crude's floating around. Crude is close to $70 a barrel, but in April is $88 a barrel. I'm not thinking it's going to crash or something, but since the summer, the spring, it has been trending down. Now, seasonally, crude does that. Seasonally, crude rallies into really the July peak travel driving season and then tends to correct a bit into December, January and bottom out again. So that could be simply what's going on. But I also do think that with the yield curve coming from being negative to positive, it's a warning sign that the economy is likely to slow down, which could be, you know, affect the demand for oil prices. I'll point out to one other indicator everyone's going to be watching now, is the unemployment rate. Historically, the unemployment rate, when it bottoms out, will start to creep up. And that's what's been going on the past 2 months. The U.S. unemployment rate made a bottom this summer, and it was slightly higher in the last report. Historically, when that happens, that slow trend upwards will continue for a few months, and then at some point, the unemployment rate will simply explode higher overnight, and that's the recession. So I think that's where we're headed. Why does that happen? Because, say, you run a restaurant and you open up your newspaper and you hear that a factory where you live is laid off 200 people. Well, you say, well, that's bad, but it's just one news report. But then another month comes by and there's another factory, and then you keep reading about more of these layoffs, and then all of a sudden you start to think to yourself, I better not hire some more people, maybe I should lay off too, or let people go that, you know, or not replace people who are leaving their job, you know, if new employees. And that's how recessions play out. And The good news is that when it happens, it's usually a fast process. It's not the Great Depression, you know, when just because there's a slowdown in the economy, and the unemployment rate jumps up in a very short amount of time, and then it peaks out and comes back down. So I think that's what we're headed for next year. And that can hurt the oil demand if less people are working in restaurants or wherever. And I'm thinking unemployment could go to 7% or so in the United States. That's not the end of the world, but it is a disaster if you own very risky stocks or you have all your money in something like Bitcoin or something like the Cathie Wood ARK ETF or something like in NVIDIA. In NVIDIA, the problem with NVIDIA isn't that its earnings are going to collapse, but that everyone is in the stock, and it's been the one stock everyone has traded and owned, and it's got a super high valuation, and it's just, you know, a risky situation.
Is gold going to hit $3,000?
I think so. It could be there in 12 months, or maybe even before that. In my view, one way to understand what's going on in gold is, again, look at the big picture. Gold had a high of $2,100 an ounce. That was resistance for 2 years, and then it broke through that resistance barrier this March, and now it's floating around $2,500. So that's a nice gain, and it's not in a stage three topping phase or a bull or bear market. It's trading well above its 150-day and 200-day moving averages and its 50-day moving average, and all those averages are trending up. Mining stocks are now going up faster than gold, at least the big cap mining stocks are, and ETFs such as GDX, which is good because typically in a gold bull market, that's what they do. The big cap miners outperform the metal, and they're doing that. So it's confirmation. And silver looks good too. But it's not going up fast enough to interest the masses who have been told that they can make instant overnight riches in things like Bitcoin over the past couple years. Gold's going up slowly, trending up slowly, having an up day and then a down day, then another up day, and then ending the month up, you know, in 3,000 from 2,500, it's a nice return, but it's not, and it's a reasonable return to expect, but it's not the same thing as someone saying gold's going to go to $1 million, which is what the masses like to hear, because that's what they've been taught over the past couple years to think about when it comes to Bitcoin. The predictions of $1 million from Bitcoin gurus like Cathie Wood have programmed the masses to think those are the type of returns they should be gunning for when they're not going to happen. They're unrealistic, and it's akin to thinking the markets are a lottery ticket when they need to return to reality and think to themselves, look, gold going to 3,000 from 2,500, that's a 20% return. Well, it's probably, that's okay. It's not 1,000%, but it's a stable return, and gold is less volatile than the stock market. It doesn't go down as much as stock market does when the stock market has dips. When the stock market fell to its 200-day moving average, the NASDAQ, in August, gold didn't even go below its 50-day moving average. When the stock market crashed in March of 2020, when the lockdowns came, the S&P fell 30%. Gold fell half as much and then came back twice as fast. Gold is the ultimate safe haven portion of a portfolio. But 20% returns, you know, they may not sound exciting to people, but they will be exciting to people 12 months from now if the stock market's down 15% and Bitcoin's down 50% or even more. You know, so that's what people need to think of. It's not simply reward, and the reward is there for gold, but the risks that you're taking to try to make these gains. And people who are trying to make, you know, $1 million in Bitcoin are in danger of you know, losing a lot of money going forward. Bitcoin is already badly lagging the stock market, a huge warning sign right in front of all of us.
Now, I know every once in a while we like to talk about the Robin Hooders. Do they even exist anymore?
not in the way they did a couple years ago. Robin Hood trading was a mania 3 years ago, but the stories are a lot of those people got wiped out, like one third of them. And I actually had a Robin Hood account to see what it was like, and they showed you a thing that would show you the listing of all the most owned stocks, but I deleted the account, so I don't have access to that information anymore. However, what they did do is they made a pivot shift, the Robinhood company, from just doing trading for people to selling these people credit cards. So that's the business that they've shifted into, the credit card world.
Of course, if you go into a recession, a lot of those credit cards are going to default, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what'll happen.
Mike, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, I don't think much is going to happen between now and, you know, the next time we speak. There's going to be a Federal Reserve interest rate cut this month in September, the first one of this rate cutting cycle. And we're going to probably see more gyrations in the market, but I wouldn't be shocked if we're not too much, you know, there's not much too much difference between where we are in 4 to 6 weeks and where we are right now.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Great to talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.